Gentlemen, come to order. Walton. Secretary of the Roll.
The roll shows 18 members present, Senators Croft, Curtula, and Orsini are excused from the call of Senate today. Senators Croft and Orsini are present.
Our chaplain today is Mr. Dan Bachman, lay rabbi.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in the green pastures, he leadeth me beside the still waters, he restoreth my soul. He guideth me in straight paths for his name's sake, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, thy comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies, thou hast anointed my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the rest of the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever, amen.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that today's prayer, the 23rd Psalm, be spread upon the journal.
I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 159th legislative day.
President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the 159th legislative day be approved as certified.
Is there any objection?
I would move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused from the call of Senate for the balance of the legislative day. I'll be here for a good portion of the day. I have several meetings and prior commitments that I can't avoid. I will try to make this as much of the calendar as possible. I think I will be able to do that.
Is there any objection? There is objection. Any discussion or debate? Question is, shall Cindy Rhodey be excused from the call of the House for the remainder of this day? Have all Cindy voted? Didn't Cindy vote to change her vote? Secretary, take the vote.
The roll shows 16 yeas, 3 nays.
So Senator Rhodey is excused from the call of the Senate today. Do you have any introductions?
Yes.
Messages from Governor?
There are no messages from the Governor this morning.
Stand at ease, please.
To June 17, the House has passed the following Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 100 amended Federal Aid Highway System, Senate Bill Number 222 amended, requiring that the voter himself deposit his ballot in the ballot box. These have been sent to enrolling. The House has concurred in the Senate amendment to CSHB 661, revising the criminal laws of the state, thus adopting Senate CS for CS for HB 661 amended Senate, revising the criminal laws of the state, changing Rule 35 of the Alaska Supreme Court's Rules of Criminal Procedure, and has adopted the Senate supplement. The House has concurred in the Senate amendment to HB 804, Legislative Board of Retirement Benefits, thus adopting House Bill Number 804, amended Senate. The House has adopted the Free Conference Committee considering CSHB 815 and SCS CSHB 815, thus adopting Free Conference Committee substitute for Senate Committee substitute for CS for HB 815, Oil and Gas Conservation. The House has failed to recede from its amendment to SB 45 and HCS for SB 45 Finance Amended House. The Speaker has appointed the following members to a pre-conference committee: Representative Meekins, Chairman; Representative Brown; Representative Eliason. The Senate members are Senators Huber, Orsini, and Bradley. The House has failed to recede from this amendment to Senate Bill 186 amended, namely HCS for SB 186 amended House, Judicial Officers. The Speaker has appointed a pre-conference committee: Representatives Gardner, Greening, and Carpenter. Senate members are Senators Croft, Ray, and Rohde. The House has failed to recede from this amendment to CS for Senate Bill 388, membership of the Alaska Coastal Policy Council, namely HCS for CS for Senate Bill 388, States Coastal Program. The Speaker appointed Representatives Rudd, Nackack, and Urien to a free conference committee. Senate members are Senators Orsini, Poland, and Bradley. The House has failed to recede from this amendment to CS for Senate Bill number 600, Legal School Age for Education of Exceptional Children, namely HCS for CS for Senate Bill 600, prohibiting sex and age discrimination in education in the state. The Speaker appointed a pre-conference committee, Representatives Rudd, Parr, and Danquist. Senate members are Senators Poland, Hackney, Poland, and Willis.
President, do we have any
consider very minor housekeeping matters and motions and amendments and things of that nature. Our staff was up last night between 1:30 and 2 o'clock, and they're going to have a hard time kind of functioning, continuing to function, no matter how long we want to work. We're finding that we don't really have to stop until the staff can continue working down. So, you know, if you see small items, when they try to ignore them,
Message of June 17, the House has concurred in the Senate amendment to committee substitute for House Bill 908 Finance Amended Miscellaneous Appropriations for TV and Telecommunication Services, namely Senate CS for CS for HB 908 Rules Amended Senate, but the House has failed to concur in the Senate letter of intent on the above bill.
I move and ask unanimous consent that action on this measure be deferred to later in the day.
Actually, no action is required whatsoever, Senator. The bodies have just disagreed on the letter of intent, which means that the Board of Interpretive is going to do it. That's where I think. Senator Sackett.
Mr. President, in that case, I would move that the Senate be adopted or letter of intent as the body has
agreed. It will not change. Motion is that the Senate re-adopt the letter of intent that's adopted yesterday. Do you want to shred it in, sir?
Yes.
Typed out and shred it in today's room, sir?
Yes, sir.
Objection.
There is objection. Is there any discussion of debate? With so many has favored the re-adoption of the Senate letter of intent in term 908. The question is, shall the letter of intent be readopted and be spread on the journal? Concerning the House Bill 908, the Senate will proceed to that. All Senator voted.
Pete.
Any Senator wants to change his or her vote?
There are 18 yeas and 2 nays.
And so the letter of intent is readopted and will be spread again on the Senate.
The House has failed to concur in the Senate amendment to House Bill 855 amended, public corporations or other municipal instrumentalities, namely HB 855 amended Senate, and respectfully request the Senate to recede.
A
President, I move that the Senate receive from its amendments to House Bill 855 and request the body to vote no.
Is there any discussion or debate? The question is, shall the Senate receive from its amendments to House Bill 855 and the Senate to vote no? Have all Senate voted? Have all Senate voted? Does any Senator wish to change his or her vote? Will the Secretary take the roll?
The roll shows 18 noes.
And so the Senate has failed to receive the amendments to House Bill 855 as amended. I'll appoint a free conference committee consisting of Senator Jorsen, Chairman Willis and Paxton. Excuse me, Willis and Beal.
So popular.
The House has passed committee substitute for Senate Bill number 413, Resources. Special appropriation to the Department of Natural Resources to fund the Big Delta Agricultural Development Project with the following amendment, HCS for CS for SB 413. Special appropriation to the Department of Natural Resources, Commerce and Economic Development and Revenue for Renewable Resource Development Projects and transmitted for consideration.
I had moved that the Senate concur in the House amendments to committee substitute for Senate Bill 413. I yield to Senator Poland for explanation.
Mr. President, the original bill has not been changed, but they have added on to it the appropriations for the agricultural and commercial fishing loan funds and the cooperative bank. We passed a bill regarding this, and I very much like to see these projects go.
Yeas, one nay, and two excused.
So the House has concurred. The House amendment and the House committee substitute Senate Bill 413 has passed the Senate.
Effective date of law. I move and ask unanimous consent for roll call vote on the passage. The bill be the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Is there any objection?
The House has passed Senate Bill number 414, Special Appropriation to the Department of Natural Resources Agricultural Revolving Loan Fund with the following amendment, HCS SB 414, Special Appropriations to the Department of Natural Resources and the Department of Commerce and Economic Development for certain revolving loan funds and transmitted for consideration.
As I understand it, the initial bill was $500,000 to the general fund money to the Department of Natural Resources. The House added a total of $6,800,000 to the Department of Economic Development, which includes $1,500,000 small business revolving loan fund, $2 million utilities revolving loan fund, $3 million fisheries revolving loan fund, and $300,000 to the historical district revolving loan fund. The total add on is $6.8 million. I think that's correct. I may be in error. What was the motion, sir? The motion has been made that the Senate concur in the House amendments, as represented by House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 414, Senator Steve Rowe. All senators voted. Any senator wish to change his or her vote?
I do.
Any senator wish to change their vote? Will the Secretary take the roll?
The roll shows 9 yeas, 9 nays.
And so the Senate has failed to consider the House amendments. Senator Sack, Chairman, Senator Tilly, and holding members. Next order.
The House has passed Senate Bill 438, increasing the amount of assistance to families with dependent children with the following amendment, HCS for SB 438 with the same title and transmitted for consideration.
Senate concur in the House amendments to Senate Bill 438.
Is there any discussion, debate? The question is, shall the Senate concur in the House amendments to Senate Bill 438 as indicated by House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 438? Senator, please proceed to vote. All senators voted. Any senator wish to change his or her vote? Secretary, take the roll.
The roll shows 16 yeas, 2 nays, 2 excused.
And so the House senators concurred in the House amendments and House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 438 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on the passage of the bill be the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, it's ordered and the effective date clause is
the House has passed. Committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 521, amended. State participation in the cost of construction of developmental access roads with the following amendment, HCS for CS for SB 521 rules MH. State road and highway development maintenance and transmitted for consideration.
Senator Sackett.
I move that HCS for CS Senate Bill 521 be sent to the Finance Committee. Mr. President, what the House did was to add the Northville Hall Road, which is in the Finance Committee, and we go out of that committee and I'll care for that. And I move that the unanimous consent to be sent to Finance.
Is there any discussion today?
Object.
Motion is to be sent to Finance. The discussion will be. The question is, shall the bill be referred to the Finance Committee? Senator, make the chief vote. All senators voted. Any senator wish to change his or her vote? Secretary, take the roll.
The roll shows 17 yeas, 1 nay, 2 excused.
So the bill is referred to Finance Committee.
The House has passed Senate Bill Number 627, Participation by Employees of the Alaska State Office in Tokyo in the Public Employees Retirement System with House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 627, an act relating to the public employees and teachers' retirement system and transmitting for consideration.
I move that the Senate concur in the House amendments to Senate Bill 627 and yield to Senator Killian for explanation.
President, I suggest we concur, though I'm not too happy with what's done, but they added all public employees are eligible to receive non-occupational benefits after their vested 5 years, and these are for injuries received off the job. Non-occupational benefits are 2% per year of employment. This would increase it to a flat 40%. They have a list of everybody here. It's 39 people total, which you're talking about. Since statehood, and there isn't any doubt that some more will claim it, but there's only been 39 since statehood been claimed.
What fiscal note is, sir?
It's very confusing. The fiscal note that came with Eliason's original bill was 498,000. But then when there's been some revisions downward on that, and I couldn't give you what the smaller end of it is, it's considerably less than that, but it does have a fiscal note in excess of what the original bill had.
Any further discussion today? The question is, shall the Senate concur in the House amendment indicated by House Amendment 72%, Bill 627, Senate Majority Vote? All Senate voting.
The roll shows 17 yeas, 1 nay.
So the Senate has concurred in the House amendment, and Senate Bill 627 is passed.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent to vote on the passage of the bill. We vote on the effective date clause.
Is there any objection? Hearing that, so ordered, and effective date clause is
adopted. The House passed Committee Substitute Percent Bill 562, amended Alaska Land Policy, with the following amendment: HCS for CS for SB 562 rules, amended House, creating the Wood Tikchik State Park.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate concur in the House amendments to Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 562.
Any discussion today?
Another clarification. I understand they stripped out the whole bill the Senate passed and put in a bill creating a state park.
Mr. President, that's true, but that's not so bad because I took the bill that they stripped out and put it in the middle of House Bill 720.
then the real issue before us is, do we want to create a Wood River Tikchik State Park at the same time we're being forced to accept 100 million acres by the federal government as a provisional park?
This one is a little bit different than the regular state parks. In fact, quite a bit different. To be quite plain, is to make sure that one of the main prime recreation and hunting areas for the state does not come up under the Burn Initiative and be parceled out in dozens of small parcels. And that's basically the push behind this bill. It is quite a bit different than any other state parks we have in that it remains open for the uses it's now had.
Could somebody tell me just the approximate location of Woodchuck Park?
Wood River is on the Bering Sea drainage north and east of Dillingham. It's a rather nice wooded area with a system of lakes that you can travel by boat from lake to lake.
Thank you.
A couple of questions. How many acres are being encompassed in this new park? Is sport hunting given as much priority as subsistence hunting, or under what rules is it governed? Is there anything strange or unusual or different about the management of this park area that other parks don't have?
Both sport hunting and subsistence hunting are allowed in the park. I can't remember the exact acreage of it. I might mention in connection with this particular bill, I received a letter from Congressman Young urging that we pass the Wood River Tikchik Park. He felt that it would aid our arguments on the H.R. 39 by showing that when we have a particular area that is extremely suitable for such a park, that we took steps to implement it. And I think he has a point there. But of course, the other point is the main one that Senator Tillian has mentioned. It would be a terrible tragedy to have that thing gobbled up by the Byrne Initiative.
As to acreage, I think that the acreage indicated on line 25 of page 1 is 1,428,020 acres. Probably the acreage included. Is there any further discussion debate? The question is, shall the Senate concur in the House amendment to indicate that House Committee 72, Committee 72, the Senate Bill Number 552 rules and amended by the House? All can vote.
The roll shows 17 yeas, 1 nay, 2 excused.
And so, House Committee 72, Committee 72, for Senate Bill Number 562, rules, amended by the House, passed the Senate.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the vote on the passage of the bill be the vote on the effective date clause.
Is there any discussion, debate, or any objection? Hearing none, it's so ordered, and effective date clause is passed.
Those are the House messages to date.
I understand that the House stayed in session last night until 1 o'clock or something like that. Their staff, I understand, is not getting completed their work from yesterday, and we will continue to receive messages throughout the day as their staff processes them. So we will, from time to time, revert to messages as they accumulate. I think it'd be reasonable, because we're real break for noon, that we take a 5-minute recess now and then try to go on to a 5-minute, no longer than 5 minutes. Senate will come to order. That's order of business.
Standing committee reports. The State Affairs Committee considered House Joint Resolution Number 84. Appreciation to Arizona House of Representatives for its support of the state's position on amendment of pending Alaska National Interest Lands legislation. Recommends due pass. Signed Senator Petula, co-chairman, concurring Senator Huber, Willis, and Ray. 84 has no further referral. The Rules Committee considered House Bill 253, Special Appropriation to Fisheries Enhancement Revolving Loan Fund, and recommends it be replaced with a Senate Committee Substitute Rules. New title, appear on today's calendar. It does. The Rules Committee considered committee substitute for House Bill Number 909 amended.
Is there any objection to waiving the Rules Committee report to its yearly calendar? Madam Secretary, we only those reports in which there was committee substitute. Any objection? Madam Secretary, omit the calendar rules.
The Rules Committee considered committee substitute for House Bill 909 amended, Special Appropriation to Alaska Court System, Office of the Governor, Public Defender's Office, and Departments of HESS, and recommends it be replaced with a Senate Committee substitute and calendar. The Rules Committee considered House Bill 919, Grants and Aid to Municipalities and Associations Maintaining Public Libraries, and replaces it with Senate Committee substitute with a new title and put on today's calendar. The Rules Committee considered committee substitute for House Bill 969, Supplemental Appropriation for Operating and Capital Expenses of the State Government. Recommends it be replaced with the Senate Committee Substitute Rules and placed on today's calendar. The Rules Committee considered House Bill 933 amended, Compensation for State Employees Not Covered by a Collective Bargaining Agreement. Recommends it be replaced with the Senate Committee Substitute Rules and placed on today's calendar. Those are the standing committee reports this morning. Free Conference Committee report, June 9. The Free Conference Committee, which had committee substitute for House Bill 477 amended, sale of state land, and SCS for CS for HB 477, same title, recommends that Free Conference Committee substitute for Senate Committee substitute for Committee substitute for House Bill 477 sale of state land be adopted. Signed, Senator Poland, Orsini, Buttigieg, House, Representatives Hayes, Bradley, Freeman.
Mr. President, I would move the adoption of the Free Conference Committee report.
Mr. President, could we have an explanation of what the difference is?
Mr. President, actually the changes were very minor. Instead of 10 years until you're eligible to participate in another lottery, we changed that to 8 years. There was some very slight cleanup language, but that was the most basic change that we made, and I just see no problem with it at all.
Any further discussion or debate? The question is, shall the Senate adopt the Pre-Conference Committee report, pass Pre-Conference Committee substitute for Senate Committee substitute, Committee substitute for House Bill number 477, Senate Bill number 2. All senators voted. The minister wishes to change his or her vote. Secretary, take the roll.
The roll shows 14 yeas.
And so the bill passes.
President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on the passage of the bill be the roll call vote on the effective date.
Any discussion? Any objection? Hearing none. Effective date clause is
Free Conference Committee report on HB 954, Special Appropriation to Department of Transportation, Acquisition of a Site for a Permanent Maintenance Facility for State Ferries, and HB 954-MS recommends that Free Conference Committee substitute for House Bill 954 be adopted. Signed, Senator Ziegler, Meland, Ray, Gardner, Bradley, Haugen.
Mr. President. I move the adoption of the Free Conference Committee report.
Is there any discussion or debate?
This is the same bill which passed the Senate. It's identical, passed our body unanimously, so I would now ask unanimous consent.
The roll shows 14 yeas, four absent.
And so the bill has passed the
Senate. I move the unanimous consent that the roll call vote on passage of the bill be the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Is there any objection?
Mr. President, distributed to everybody's desk was a two-paragraph letter indicating that it's our intent to have $1 million for Ketchikan for the marine maintenance facility and $500,000 for a dock at Auk Bay. It's been distributed. I would move and ask unanimous consent that the letter of intent be spread in the journal as the intent of the Senate.
The letter of intent is undated. It has at the upper left-hand corner, 18954. That's the intent of the Conference Committee, signed by Senator Ziegler, Chairman of the Senate, and Representative Kerry Gardner, in the House. Is there any objection to the adoption of the letter of intent as the intent of the Senate? Is there any objection? Any objection? So
moved. The Free Conference Committee, considering Senate Bill 552, alcohol, and HCS SB 552, recommends Free Conference Committee substitute for House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 552, an act relating to alcohol, be adopted. Signed, Senators Hackney, Chairman, not concurring, Senator Ziegler, concurring, Senators Croft. Concurring on the House side, Representative Meekins, Chairman, Representative Dankworth, not concurring, Representative Brown. Do not pass.
President, I would move the adoption of the Free Conference Committee substitute for Senate Bill 552 and call the House.
Is there any objection to the gallery remaining in the back remaining in the question? Do you call the House only if this one bill is there for all?
Yes. Just on this bill, Mr. President.
The House is called. Is there any objection to continuing to the next order of business? Is the Sergeant at Arms to the defense of the Honorable Committee?
The Free Conference Committee, considering Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 388, Membership of Alaska Coastal Policy Council and HCS-CS SB 388, State's Coastal Management Program, recommends that Free Conference Committee substitute for House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 388, an act relating to the state's coastal management program, be adopted.
Is there a motion?
Conference Committee is absent.
Senator Orsini.
Excuse. Senator Coleman, are you in committee this?
Somewhat, but I would prefer that we'd wait and I'd place a call on this one.
Persons that are excused today are Petula, Orsini, and we excused
Rodin.
Senator
Rodin. Senator Crawford is excused today.
Thank you.
There's a call placed on 388. For the next order of business, in addition to that one bill, next order.
The Free Conference Committee, which considered CSHB 25 Finance, accrued medical and annual leave of state employees, and SCS-CSHB 25, state officers, state employees, and teachers, recommends that Free Conference Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 953, authorizing the Department of Administration to make advances to the University of Alaska. I'm sorry, this has got the wrong thing attached to it. I don't have a copy of the conference. I don't have a copy of that at all. An act recommends that Free Conference Committee substitute for Senate Committee substitute for Committee substitute for House Bill 25, an act relating to state officers, state employees, and teachers, and providing for an effective date, be adopted. Signed, Senate members, Senators Hackney, Tillian, and Meehlin, House, Representatives Miller, Duncan, and Phillips.
Mr. President, I would prefer that Senator Tillian speak on this bill and have a place to call on the call.
Mr. Bentley, a person to understand, the conference committee on the budget, we think it's probably 2 hours away from being able to find out the budget, but that's not good. So, as long as you all understand that way, I'm just hearing. The problem is that they're meeting in the House, and of course, it's difficult for them to get time in the House at all.
The Free Conference Committee, considering CSHB 681 amended state aid for school construction and SCS CSHB 681 AMS schools, recommends that Free Conference Committee substitute for Senate Committee substitute for Committee substitute for House Bill 681 schools effective date be adopted. Signed, Senators Ferguson, Coletta, Ray. In the House, Representative Parr, chairman, said do not concur. Representative Knack-Knack concurred. Representative Rhodes concurred.
So the bill is adopted. The call of the House is satisfied. We'll take up the items and this call replacing the order of the resolution. According to my record, that would be
Free Conference Committee report on Senate Bill 552 and HCS SB 552 alcohol recommends Free Conference Committee substitute for HCS for CS for HCS for SB 552 with the same title be adopted. Signed, Senator Hackney, chairman, concurring. Senator Croft, concurring. Senator Ziegler, not concurring. House members, Russ Meekins, concurring. Representative Brown, do not pass. Representative Dankworth, concurring.
Conference Committee substitute for House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 552 were as follows. The House language was kept in the first section of the bill and then be on everyone's desk. The House language on the driving while under the influence was retained, and then in addition to that, starting on page 2 of the bill, the language having to do with the establishment of the Temperate Social Activities Revolving Loan Fund was reinserted in the bill, and that was the extent of the changes.
Mr. President, occasionally a sense of obligation makes somebody stand up and protest the imminent passage of a measure, and this is one of those times when I have to do this. I think we're doing a totally unwise thing today for reasons which I will enumerate. I have no hopes of prevailing, but those of you who think, I want you to mark my words well, because with the passage of this bill, we are creating a dire situation. I can remember But the thought occurred to me this morning, I've gone full cycle on DWI. I can remember when Senator Tillion, who then chaired the House Judiciary, and I, who then chaired the Senate Judiciary Committee, passed the laws which we have on our books currently. They are as tough as any laws in any of the other 50 states. Under the existing provisions, a court can impose a fine of up to $1,000 and imprisonment for up to a year. True, this hasn't been done. At least to my knowledge it hasn't, but rather than change the law, perhaps we should change the judges, and we have an opportunity to do that periodically. With the enactment or the adoption of this free conference committee report, we have a strange situation on our hands. We'll have to go to jail from now on in our state for driving while under the influence, for committing murder, or for kidnapping. Now let's look at the practicalities of it. Not less than 3 consecutive days. A lot of employers aren't going to like it when their employees are off the job for 3 days. I fear there'll be some job loss. In addition, in the smaller communities, and I only want to address myself to southeastern Alaska because I'm more familiar with my area, of course, than I am with some of the more remote villages up to the north and west. But if a man in Wrangell or a lady in Wrangell, first offender, is convicted, it's going to take her a day with a police officer to go down to the holding detention facility in Ketchikan. It's going to take her a day to get back. That's 5 days. Haines to Juneau, Petersburg to Sitka. So you're talking about 5 days. The magistrate, or the judge rather, in Haines called me yesterday, and he said, I have convicted 12 people of DWI, first offenders, since January of this year. He said, nobody has even considered the impact upon the correctional system or upon the ability of state troopers to haul these people into jail and to take them back, I guess, at least to bring them in. So there is a considerable financial impact. And what is bad about the bill? It does away with the discretion of the judge on the first offense. And certainly we can all think of various instances where perhaps one person should not have to go to jail. The doctor who's not on duty but is home entertaining guests and he gets a call from the hospital saying it's an emergency and he's had one too many in the course of entertaining and he gets stopped. Fine, convict him, but why make him go to jail for 3 days? The young college girl who's home over the Christmas holidays, she's 19 years old. She goes to a cocktail party, has one drink too many, gets involved in an accident when it's not her fault. She doesn't go back to college, she goes to the bucket for 3 days. Now consider that person with the old gentleman who's sitting in a tavern out in the country and he says, I bet anybody in the place $100 I can drink a pint of whiskey and drive through town in a half an hour. I mean, obviously one person, in my opinion, ought to get a greater penalty than in the other 2 examples. I realize I'm espousing an improper position, but I just can't help it. And I suggested to my fellow conferees that do what you want to do on the second and third offenders. Be just as tough as you want to be. I don't care whether you put them away forever. Anybody who's nutty enough to go out and repeat the offense should get it in the neck. But on those first offenders, I certainly do recommend that we retain some discretion in the sentencing judge.
President, I agree somewhat with my colleague from Ketchikan, but at the same time, I can't help but notice in the criminal law statutes under section 1105-150 that the judge still has the discretion and he can impose a lesser penalty, either of a fine or imprisonment or both. So really, although the 3 days is in the law, it doesn't necessarily mean that the judge has to follow it. He still has the discretion for the college girl or the guy that's running through town or the truck driver that has to go home. I don't agree. I think the only thing that the bill does is provide a cosmetic approach that we're doing something really outstanding when we're really not. The only thing that we're doing is reminding the judges that it's the will of the legislature that most people, the majority of the people, should be sent to jail if the circumstances warrant.
Mr. President, I wonder if the members of the body happen to pick up the Anchorage Times of, I think it was the 15th day of June, there was a letter from the editor in there, and I'd like to quote this very briefly from it, lest we get carried away in our great amount of concern for someone who's picked up for drunk driving and who was inconvenienced as a result of it. Mr. President, here's an inconvenience for you. The letter reads as follows. On March 17th, our 14-year-old son was run down by a drunk driver who did at least have the decency to stop. The man took a breathalyzer test which showed a 0.16 alcohol content. On May 17th, he appeared in court and pleaded no contest. Our son was in the hospital for 2 weeks before the doctors felt he would live. Mr. President, it goes on to say that their son was in intensive care for 3 weeks and in progressive care for another 4 before he was sent home, still on crutches and semi-bedridden. Mr. President, the son is still in therapy, and the people go on to say we don't know for how long. There's already been a doctor and hospital bill of over $60,000 that's been brought up. What did the drunk get out of it, Mr. President? According to the letter, not much. He spent 1.5 hours in jail, Mr. President, for which he was given credit for 1 day. He was sentenced for 30 days and had the remaining 29 suspended, Mr. President. He was fined $700, with half of that suspended. His license was suspended for 30 days, except he was given a permit to continue driving to and from work. I won't read the rest of the letter. It's a fairly long one. I think it lays out some of the reasons for this bill. Mr. President, I'd like to bring one more thing to the attention of the body. In a burst of civic enthusiasm here a month or so ago, I wrote a letter to the Supreme Court of the state of Alaska. It was motivated by a letter I received from a constituent at home. This constituent had recently been exposed to the criminal justice system in our state, and she says, I hate to use the word law, for I truly feel the word law no longer reflects justice in many cases. The law only protects the criminal for the most part. And she ends up her letter by saying, one last thought. Why don't we have a law stating that if a case is brought fairly against someone without any reasonable doubt, the party bringing the case should have a good strong set penalty that could not be suspended by the court and be determined by a jury? As I mentioned, Mr. President, in a burst of enthusiasm, I sent that letter on to the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, along with a rather sharp letter of my own. And I guess it pinked the Chief Justice, Mr. President, because I got a rather long letter back from him. I'd like to quote part of his letter. He's speaking of my constituent's complaints, and he says, if I understand her complaints correctly, a lot of them apply to the enforcement of the provisions of the Constitution and the laws generally. In fact, most of her letters refers to laws which she believes impedes the obtaining of justice, or the lack of laws which would further her belief as to the nature of justice. And the pressure, Mr. President. If that's a problem, then, the Chief Justice says, as you suggest in your letter, the remedy must come from the top, that is, from senators such as yourself. Mr. President, I'm willing to vote for this bill. I realize it's a stiff bill, and I realize that many people are going to be inconvenienced as a result of it. I'm willing to go home and take the heat, Mr. President, as a result of any inconvenience that's caused by this bill. I hope the body feels the same way.
Yeah, in closing, Mr. President, I know we're in a hurry, so. Senator Hackney is correct, of course. I don't advocate just dishing out the toughest penalties possible. My point is, I hate to make it mandatory. The judge has got the authority to give up to a year right now under existing law if he wants to. So I don't mean to sound like Cassandra prophesying doom, but I suspect that when the full impact of this measure is realized by the law enforcement officials, the budget, and the corrections personnel, that we're going to have real problems. And let me close by saying, hey, I do not advocate carnage on the highways, believe me. I just like to retain that discretion in the judge.
Mr. President, I won't repeat any of the things I said against this bill when it went out of the Senate when I talked against it. But Mr. President, the cosmetic approach that we're giving it at this time isn't going to handle the concern that Senator Hackney brought up. The concern is very real. It is a real danger. What is the problem here? The problem is that with already a year in jail on the book, that's what the judge can give. The judge didn't do it. The prosecutor didn't go after it, Mr. President, and the judge didn't give it. The man got a cosmetic approach, and now we senators are going to give him another cosmetic approach. We're going to slap them on the wrist 3 days. Mr. President, only the vigorous prosecution and the hanging judge attitude is going to cure this problem and teach any lessons. And Mr. President, I remind you, we have before us today, on further on the calendar, two resolutions that would ask the people whether they want to elect their judges, whether they want to elect their attorney generals. Then, if they are not prosecuting vigorously enough, if they are not handing out the sentences that will actually deter these kind of things, then the public can do something about it. But this bill, 3 days. What does 3 days mandatory on a first offense mean to a man who committed a crime like Senator Hackney showed us? It isn't the right way to handle it, Mr. President.
Mr. President, somewhat in reply to Senator Huber's last question, I had occasion to talk to a man who had been picked up on a DWI in Anchorage. I'm not sure if they have a mandatory one-day sentence there. I believe they do. This man had not had an accident, not hurt anyone, but he was a menace on the road. He admitted that. He was a man that very seldom drinks. He knew that he shouldn't have been behind that wheel. That one day was a terrible humiliation to him. But he went through with it, grousing every inch of the way, and then was forced to go to the educational course that they give afterwards. When he completed that course, he said, "I wish everyone in the state of Alaska could go to that course. It really opened his eyes," and he said, "If I ever have an occasion like this again, you can rest assured that I'll take a cab home," not just because of the day in jail, which was difficult. He had to make special arrangements at work and everything, but the education, the frightening things that he realized that happened on the roads from drunk drivers. We've all read the articles time and again, and it breaks your heart to see innocent families. We had a couple of occasions last year where entire families were wiped out by a drunken driver who got not much but a slap on the wrist. If this will stop any of that, if it will save one life, it's worth it.
The roll shows 14 yeas, 5 nays. The free conference committee that considering CS for SB 388, membership of Alaska Coastal Policy Council, and HCS for CS for SB 388, State's Coastal Management Program, recommends Creek Conference Committee substitute for House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 388 relating to the state's coastal management program with an effective date be adopted. Signed, Senators Orsini, Polin, Bradley, Representatives Rudd, Senator Nackhack did not sign. Representative Urien signed. Do not pass.
Discussion, please.
Basically, the same as the Senate bill, there is a grandfather clause on the alternates appointed under the law, and that also has some changes that the House put in with respect to the effective date of the Alaska Coastal Policy Act. And the section pertains to activities pursuant to gas mile leases.
Any questions? Any discussion, please? The question is, shall Creek Conference Committee substitute for House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 388 passes?
Yeas.
And so the bill that passes it.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on the passage of the bill be the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, it's so ordered, and the effective date clause is adopted.
The Creek Conference Committee, which considered CSHB 25 Finance, accrued medical and annual leave of state employees, and SCS-CSHB 25, state officers, state employees, and teachers, recommends Creek Conference Committee substitute for Senate Committee substitute for Committee substitute for House Bill 25, state officers, state employees, and teachers effective date be adopted. Signed, Senators Hackney, Tillian, and Meeland, Representatives Miller and Duncan, Representative Phillips signed, do not pass.
Yes, sir. With the fiscal note in the original bill, so the original bill is passed by the Senate stands. There were some adjustments made, but the fiscal note on these retirement bills run right around $1 million.
Mr. President, could we have two things? We have the committee report one, read one more time, and I would like to hear an explanation of the difference.
Sorry, sir. You want the explanation of the difference of the committee report?
I'd like to hear an explanation of the difference between the Senate passed version and what the Free Conference Committee adopted. Just the meat of it, sir, plus the committee report. Yes, sir. I request the committee, the secretary, read the committee report again, and I also request, sir, that we have an explanation of the substantive difference between the Senate version and the Free Conference Committee report.
Free Conference Committee report. Free Conference Committee, which considered CSHB 25 Finance, accrued medical and annual leave of state employees, and SCS-CSHB 25, state officers, state employees, and teachers, recommends that Free Conference Committee substitute for Senate Committee substitute for Committee substitute for House Bill Number 25, state officers, state employees, and teachers, effective date be adopted. Signed, Senators Hackney, Tillian, and Meeland, Representatives Miller and Phillip and Duncan. Representative Phillips signed, do not pass.
Any further discussion, please?
The differences are under the Senate passed version, the personal leave section required that you have 15 days annual leave that you could take if you saw fit left over from previous service, if you had that much, and the rest went into a bank. The new version allows you to convert 40% of the employee who served saved up to personal leave. The other change is in a BIA teacher, that has served less time for the federal government than necessary to get a pension and has gone to work for the state can convert that time over the same as they now can on the law, but closes the loophole on double dipping so that if they're eligible for a federal DIA pension or a military pension, for this time they cannot then count that time towards the state retirement. So basically, there are not that many differences in it.
Question.
The roll shows 17 yeas, one nay.
President, I move an unanimous consent that the roll call vote on the passage of the bill be the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Any objection?
There are no other special committee reports.
President, I would move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill number 965 be taken up at this time.
965. This is 965.
House Bill 965 by the State Affairs Committee, an act providing for the issuance of GO bonds in the amount of $966 million for the purpose of paying capital construction costs of the new Alaska Capitol and providing for an effective date.
We are in second reading.
With an amendment number one by Senator Wellis pending, moved and pending.
Mr. President, just very briefly, I would oppose the amendment as presented by my good colleague from Eagle River. I think that the people of Alaska are entitled to know the full cost of moving the full capital.
Can I put a discussion today? All right. The question is, amendment number one be adopted. All things voted. The Senator wishes to change his or her vote. Will the Secretary take the roll?
The roll shows 6 yeas, 12 nays.
So amendment number one is carried.
I have no other amendments.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and House Bill 965 be advanced to third reading and placed for final passage.
House Bill 965 of the State Affairs Committee, an act providing for the issuance of GO bonds in the amount of $966 million for the purpose of paying capital construction costs of the new Alaska Capitol and providing for an effective date.
Question. Is there any discussion or debate?
Mr. President,
Kennedy, please.
Well, Mr. President, it's with great reluctance that I'm going to vote for this inflated cost. I believe that had the Senate a year ago, when we developed the legislation that provided for the Capital Planning Commission, had we not tacked on that amendment that said that they would plan for a city of 30,000 by 1990, had that amendment not been passed and added to that legislation, had the Capital Planning Commission have been given the latitude that any planning commission should be able to have, and that is to develop a plan or alternatives for this legislature, I don't believe that they would have come back with a tremendously costly, bloated bond issue. I honestly believe that it would have come back much the way that the House and Senate State Affairs Committee came up with the basic move. I believe that they would have come back with something that would have met the requirements of the initiative, would have protected the people in Juneau as the initiative calls for it and was pointed out yesterday, and would have come back with a cost that would be reasonable to carry out the mandate of the people of this state that voted for the initiative in 1974. Thank you.
Question. Well, Mr. President, again, I must respectfully disagree with my colleague from Eagle River. I don't think that the bond issue is enough, and reluctantly, I'm going to vote for it, but I think it's a shrunken, misshapen, dwarfed cost of the real move. If the people want to move this capital, it's going to cost them considerably more than this. It's going to, well, look at the pipeline. Just figure out what its estimate, 900 million, and what did it end up as, 9 billion?
Mr. President, I too am going to vote reluctantly for this issue. Mr. President, it does not, in my opinion, meet the requirements of the Frank Initiative. I think it is a shrunken value. But, Mr. President, we are supposed to put something up for the people in accordance with the initiative, and that's the only reason I vote for it. The people have the final say.
The roll shows 17 yeas, 1 nay, 2 excused.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on the passage of the bill be the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, the effective date clause is
adopted. Mr. President, it's my intention to place a recess motion, but prior to that, maybe an advancement to announcement.
This time I'd like to give notice of reconsideration of House Bill number 965 and ask that that reconsideration be taken up at this time.
Have you made your motion to reset all set? Motion to order the reconsideration of the
An act providing for the issuance of GO bonds in the amount of $966 million for the purpose of paying capital construction costs of the New Alaska Capital and providing for an effective date.
Any further discussion today? Question is, shall House Bill 965 pass the second sitting and proceed to vote? All senators voted. Is there any senator wish to change his or her vote? Secretary, take the vote.
The roll shows 17 yeas, 1 nay, 2 excused.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on the passage of the bill be the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Any objection?
Senator Hackman?
ran into the same situation this morning as it was brought out by Senator Sackett of the House playing the game of tagging on a bill that was already in a Senate committee. And, Mr. President, I should have objected when this bill came before us a couple of days ago. I neglected, however, to do that. But I do ask at this time that bill be referred to. It's two bills, Mr. President, one of which has been in his committee, and it constitutes pulling the bill out of the committee.
I think the bill has already been referred to a committee, and so that is no longer possible, even though I think it's impossible to do it, even if it hadn't been referred. But it has been referred to a pre-conference committee. I'd be curious if the committee has met yet.
Meeting this morning, however, the conference committee did not meet down the bill.
I want to make a case for having been appointed to a committee. We did have one meeting. Senator Hackney was not there. There's supposed to be a further meeting today and to finalize that bill and to be appointed and given the responsibilities of a committee and not allow it at least to meet and formally accept or reject a particular bill, I think it's premature to discharge the committee.
Mr. President, it's passing strange for one committee chairman from the House side of the legislature, Mr. Chairman, to convene a meeting and call it a meeting when the chairman from the Senate side of the legislature is obviously unable to attend. It's not even a valid meeting yet. It just doesn't mean anything. Mr. President, I renew my motion.
As I understand it, then there has been no meeting of the pre-conference committee. And I'd be curious how anybody could discharge the committee, since the rule requires that there be a determination that the committee is unable to agree.
Mr. President, I think it's asking a great deal to ask the committee chairman to serve on a pre-conference committee and consider a bill that's already in his committee, and that service on a pre-conference constituting the pulling a bill out of his committee, that's rather much, Mr. President.
Mr. President, Senator Wilson.
Well, I have a note that was just passed to me. It said there will be a meeting of the pre-conference committee for Senate Bill 600 at 1 p.m. in the Senate Resources Committee room. And, question.
Mr. President, in line with my record, I would place my former motion that CS for SB 600 be referred to the HSS committee.
Any objection? Has been out there. What?
The roll shows 15 yeas, 3 nays.
So the bill is referred to Health Education Public Service.
Senate recess till 1:30.
Object. Mr. President, just for purposes of announcement. Mr. President, during the lunch hour, the Free Conference Committee on Senate Bill 405 will meet in Senator Bradley's office sometime during the lunch hour.
Mr. President, in about 10 minutes, they should be passing around the proposed operating capital budget that we worked out in the conference. And I'll be available if there's any questions that people have. Also, the pre-conference on the budget would like to meet at 1:30, and I realize it's extremely difficult to ask this, but we would like to have at least 1 hour without a call if possible, so that we can complete the budget. I think that's all we need is just an hour.
Senator Hackett. Mr. President, there will be a meeting with the pre-conference committee on Senate Bill 453 during the lunch hour.
Senator Golden.
Mr. President, there will be a free conference committee meeting on House Bill 854 during the lunch hour.
Senator Butkovich.
Mr. President, if there are so many free conference committees meeting, we're going to be shorthanded in here. Why don't we recess for lunch to a time longer than the majority leader has indicated? Mr. President, I was just thinking if the free conference committees were working, it would give the staff time to clear away a lot of stuff, too.
Make it 2:30, Mike.
Mr. President, I amend my motion, move that the Senate recess till 2:30.
Is there any objection? Senate recessing until 2:30. Hearing none, the Senate recess.
Mr. President, when you say a night session, exactly what do you mean? Something like go on into 8 o'clock in the morning, or something that might adjourn like at 8, 9, 10, and no later than, say, 10? Or do you mean a session that goes into 2, 3 in the morning? Or?
I think that what we'll do is when you go this afternoon until maybe dinner time, go ahead at 6 o'clock, 5 or 6 o'clock. And then if we have a night session, you can come back at 8 and try to stay here until we finish it up.
My position at this time then would be let's go on like until 7 o'clock and knock it off, and we'll try again tomorrow. That would be my opinion.
Well, Mr. President, you know, and most everybody else does in the Senate, that no good has ever come out of a night session. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm through at 6 o'clock tonight, whether the rest of you are or not.
I think it might be argued that no good comes out of the end of any session. I'd rather go until we finish it up.
You're young.
You're young, that's fine.
I know there were a couple of us who were working until 3 o'clock this morning, not on the floor, but in related work to pre-conference committee responsibilities, and I would vote for a 5, 6 o'clock cutoff.
Anybody else wish to speak on this in a bunch of history?
Mr. President, I would certainly vote to knock off at a reasonable hour, 5 or 6 o'clock, and not come back. We've almost set a record for the length of the session, and it's absolutely ridiculous, in my opinion, to go all night. It's mistake time, and let's at least wind it up in a sensible manner. Let's do a day's work today. Knock off at 5 or 5:30 and go on home and get a rest and give the guys who worked all night last night a chance. Come back tomorrow morning and wind it up in a businesslike manner.
There ain't really discussion. Why don't you take a straw vote, and those who favor a night session will vote yay. Those who are opposed to a night session will vote nay. Senator,
what I'm hearing is three different concepts, basically. One of which is don't go through it, whatever it takes to finish. The other one is come back this evening for a couple of hours and get some work done. And the third is end at 5 or 6 o'clock. I don't know how to differentiate between those. How to vote in the three contracts.
We didn't want to, the dog to tell us what he wanted done. Do it.
Mr. President, I just might suggest you listen to your most experienced member.
Well, the problem is, as we all know, we get caught in the box but we'll run till 7 o'clock, and then at 7 o'clock, somebody says, hey, we can put this thing together in an hour and a half, no more than 2 hours. So everybody mills around. At 9 o'clock, you come back in. Well, we just have a few more things that we have to take care of, but if we get till 11, it'll be all okay. It'll be all buttoned up. As a result, you're still staggering around here the next morning at 5:30 or 6, and I, for one, am not going to do it.
Yes, sir.
Mr. President, some of us weren't sure that we understood that vote. Was it that those who voted yes or green must work all night? Was that the way that worked?
Without objection, let me see. What is that? Without objection, we go directly into our calendar. Senator Rohde?
Because I bring a brief to the House Bill 739,
you have a copy of that bill.
Yes, I can give you a copy of that.
Senate will come to order. The Senate will come to order. Madam Secretary, would you read the bill and your board indicates the third reading? I believe that's correct, is it not?
That is correct. It's on third reading on reconsideration, committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill number 739, Commerce, an act relating to material men and mechanics liens and providing for an effective date. I have an amendment number 3 by Senator Hackney, but we are in third reading.
Senator Hackney? Is there any objection?
Yes.
There is objection. It might help, sir, if you stated what your proposed amendment is.
Mr. President, I don't know if this has been duplicated or not.
Does it have a number on it, sir?
It's being passed out right now.
Is there a number on it?
Number 3.
It is being passed out apparently right now. Okay. I want to remind senators, once you go to second reading, it again takes a 3/4 vote of this body to advance the bill to third. It does not automatically go back to third reading. The question, well, at a certain point, 5 votes is 5 votes. Senator Hackney?
Mr. President, I assume that everyone has the amendment by now. This is,
Does everyone have the amendment? Does any member request the amendment to be read? Amendment. We will hold up here until it's distributed. Yes, the rule is 3/4 of the House. It's not 3/4 of those present. It's 3/4 of the total membership. So does it take 15 votes absolutely to advance from second to third reading? Senator, does any member request the amendment read? Without objection, we will waive the reading of the amendment. She has the floor, Senator Hackney.
Yes, Mr. President, the amendment embodies three rather simple changes. in this particular bill that were indicated as being acceptable through the material suppliers, again, Mr. President, in the light of what they're giving up in this bill. At the present time, as I'm sure the body is aware, material suppliers stand right next to labor in the matter of lien rights. This bill would very dramatically change that, in that it would put the lending institution in first place, labor second, and Ethereum and somewhere down the line. The amendments that are suggested, I'll go to the first one first, page 1, line 21. It seems, Mr. President, that the language which are incorporated in the construction, referring to material that's furnished to a job, is something that's very difficult to prove. And, Mr. President, what material suppliers ordinarily do is deliver material to a job site, and they don't stick around to make sure that it's going to be incorporated in the building. It's assumed that that's going to take place, but by having the language which is incorporated in the construction, that's very tight language. And, Mr. President, the language I'm suggesting would merely widen that a little bit so that when the material was delivered to the job, that would be the determining factor. Mr. President, on also page 1, lines 25 and 26, after the word certification, you would delete the rest of that sentence and insert instead the language I've suggested. So, again,